Off the Ball, GAA.
It was great to give our football supporters a fantastic day out. You know, we knew all the lads there nearly by name that have followed us the length and breadth of the country.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
Welcome back to another episode of The Green Team on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. And in case you've been living under a rock, the World Cup itself is underway. Unfortunately, we're not there. We've said that on about 100 different occasions over the course of the last couple of weeks. There's an awful lot going on in the world of Irish football, but today we're going to be talking about the World Cup. I've got David Wilson here, as always. David, how are you getting on?
All good.
Got Ben Symes.
Tired.
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 Sleep deprived.
What has you tired, Ben?
You look sleep deprived.
Staying up watching every single game under the sun has me a little bit sleep deprived. But it's been good. It's been a good tournament. On the pitch, it's been a good tournament. Mm. Off the pitch, it's been a bit of a mess. Mm. But on the pitch, most of it has been good. Couple of grim games.
Yeah.
Like, there's times where you're finished the end of Ecuador, Curacao the other night, past 3 in the morning, you're like, what did I do staying up for that? Mm. Like, that was maybe a little bit silly. But, all in all, I think on the pitch so far, it's been a success. And the 48 teams so far has been a success with the likes of Cape Verde. And to be fair, Curacao's result as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. The quality doesn't seem to have diminished too much.
No.
Maybe it might catch up at some stage. But I think regardless, when we get into the last 16 or so, it'll
take on. I think the next round, the last 32, is going to be cracking.
Yeah.
Like when it's just pure knockout. I think though the final round of group stage fixtures is where we might get down a little bit, where we'll see teams who are guaranteed to be through, teams who are guaranteed to be out, teams who know that a draw for both gets them both through because there's so many teams go through. I think that might let us down a little bit, but I think so far it's been a success on the pitch.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe a little bit of a mistake in their judgment there in prioritising head-to-head over goal difference. And I do think, in general, head-to-head should be taken the priority, but in this instance, because it's such a short format, I think the goal difference makes it a little bit more interesting as far as entertainment goes. But a little peek behind the curtain, actually, this morning I was coming into work, very early start, I was in here for 6 o'clock, and I caught the last 25 minutes of Algeria's incredible clash with Jordan. And as I walked in the door of the office, I had it on my phone as I was walking, and I got to the door, I stuck in my pocket, and walked up, lift, maybe, takes about a minute, walked in, and Algeria had gone 2-1 up. So I watched about 25 minutes of it and missed the only remotely interesting thing that happened. But I'm going to address the elephant in the room here, because as you can see in front of you, if you're watching on YouTube, we've got 4 people in the studio. It might be the first time we've ever had 4 people in the studio. We've been talking about the World Cup, how decent it's been on the pitch, and how whatever it's been off the pitch. But we're going to get to the bottom of that whatever, because we're joined by a man by the name of Niall Carragher, right, who has been in Mexico for the World Cup. He's back now, of course, wasn't staying for the duration, naturally. Niall, how are you getting on?
Good, thanks for having me.
And how long are you back in the country?
About 48 hours at this stage.
So 48 hours, he's not back long.
48 hours and first stop has come up to off the ball towers. You've got to respect it.
Privilege for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I suppose we should give a bit of background as to how we've managed to get Niall in here today. So you might remember a couple of weeks ago Ireland had an incredibly enthralling encounter against Qatar in Dublin. And Niall was at the game, I believe.
Yeah.
You were at the game with your mate. And I wasn't at the game. I had some pre-planned things that led me to a pub in Dublin. I won't give any kind of free promo, but it rhymes with Pogans. And
Pogans, Progans.
And at some stage that night, I stumbled upon a man by the name of Andrew. Not Niall, but Andrew was, of course, your mate. And we got chatting, and he told me that you were heading to Guadalajara. And I have a message here he sent me on Instagram later on that night, and he said, "How's it going, Matthew? Good chatting to you in the pub that I just mentioned." He said, "If you get the opportunity over the next coming weeks, try and mention my friend Niall, who's off to Guadalajara in 2 weeks." So we've gone one step further. We've not only mentioned Niall, we've got him here sitting beside us.
Yep.
You did manage to go and watch a game. What game did you go and see?
Went to see South Korea and Czechia.
South Korea and Czechia. So that is, of course, a game that the Republic of Ireland would have been playing in. What led you to go and book that? When did you book it, actually, more pressing?
I booked it in January.
January. So that's
Before Prague.
Before Prague, post Budapest.
I suppose if you're doing it right after Budapest, you're thinking, "Oh, I'm tempting too much faith here." Whereas if you do, you let it, you know, fair play, you kind of let it sit for a while. You thought about it. You had Christmas and you thought, "No, I'm going to go and do it."
Yeah.
Did we have the group stage drawn by then? Did you book it after the groups were drawn or before? You would have had to be an after, sure, if you were going to Guadalajara.
The groups were drawn.
And what was it like? What was there many Irish people there? I suppose the first off question. I imagine that's what people are wondering. I assume there was.
Yeah, like I didn't even step foot in Mexico, and I met an Irish lad. So I flew from Dublin to London to Dallas, and that's where I met the first Irish lad in an Irish half zip.
we're literally everywhere, aren't we?
Yeah. So when you were going over, you were going over on your own, and then you bumped into all those Irish people. Like, did you have a ticket before you left, or?
No, I bought a ticket, I'd say a week before the game.
Okay. And that was the game, South Korea and Czechia. It was that 3 o'clock in the morning game here on that Friday morning. Obviously, the tournament started on the Thursday. And, you know, if Ireland had to been there, it would have been, the place would have been on wheels, obviously. But I suppose, what was it like in Guadalajara? Like, what was it like? Was there many South Koreans? Was there many people from Czechia? Didn't seem to be like the whole pile.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot from Czechia. A lot of South Koreans, obviously Mexicans, a few Colombians. So in Guadalajara, the day of the match, the Mexico game over there, the opening game was on at about 1 o'clock. So you had the fan zone in Guadalajara. But like the place was just absolutely rammed. Like we tried to go to the fan zone at 10 o'clock in the morning and couldn't get in at that stage. So we were just standing outside the fan zone. The Mexico game was on like a big screen. So we all watched that, but the Irish lads and Mexicans.
Yeah.
So that was good crack.
We're very similar people, Irish and Mexicans, and share a lot of links as well. Las San Patricio's been probably the most famous, especially Mexico, probably less famous here. I suppose when we were on about you coming in today, I was really interested to see like what's the atmosphere like on the ground in Mexico. It's good. We see sometimes in the US, even Canada to some extent as well, that maybe the tournament isn't grabbing people or hadn't grabbed people, you know, the Americans or the Canadians as much as what it's done in Mexico. But what was it like, the atmosphere for the Mexican people when you were there on the ground in Guadalajara?
I thought it was electric, and that's like not over exaggerating. Going to football matches, being a Dundalk fan, going to European away games, going to Ireland matches. At first, the day started off in Guadalajara city centre, and when Mexico won, it was just a bit mad. So we then had to organise, right, we're going out to the stadium now. So we spotted a few FIFA volunteers, and they guided us out on the bus. So just touching on the difference between America and Mexico, I think our bus fare was 11 pesos,
okay,
which is like a euro.
Yeah.
Compared to some of the fares.
Yeah, they're being reported in America is crazy.
$100 for a train out to a stadium, €1 for a bus.
Not
bad. So then we arrived out to the stadium, and you have the Mexican armies there with their big machine guns. And you're like, right, this is something different. Don't really see the army at many Ireland games in the Viva.
Could do with them at Oriel Park.
Maybe.
Maybe you should.
few derby games.
And
we got there early doors, so you're advised to arrive 3 hours before kickoff. So it was 5 o'clock over Mexico, 8 o'clock kickoff. So there was already a queue outside. So actually on the bus out, I bumped into another Irish man who was going to the game, and he knows a cousin of mine. And I was just chatting to him, why are you there?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, did you have the same idea as me, thinking Ireland would be here? And he's like, no, I'm actually I'm an opposition analyst for one of the host countries, so I'm not going to say what country
crazy.
It was, but yeah, it's a bit mad.
So an Irish person working at the World Cup for
Mexico, Canada,
or US.
United States.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's a small, I was going to say it's a small world. I think it's just an Irish thing, isn't it? We just kind of pop up everywhere.
We all flock together, yeah.
Yeah, we do. And it's natural, I suppose, in this instance where we could have easily been there. When you were watching the game, it's obviously easy for us to... We come back to some of the other... But I'm fascinated, I think the main thing we want to kind of chat to you about, I suppose, is the match day experience and that sort of stuff and being in amongst the World Cup. Because as you mentioned there about it capturing the imaginations of the people of America, the people of Canada, the people of Mexico as well. We look at the European Championships, we look at the World Cups of the past, and you think you want them to be in a place where it's going to take over the nation, it's going to take over absolutely everything that's going on in that country. And the idea of that happening in America is quite hard to kind of conceptualize in your head, because it's such a big place and there's so much going on, and it's not a football mad country. But from watching on the television, you look at the games and all the stadiums are sold out and the colour is great and all that sort of stuff, you know, and to a degree, obviously, take that with a pinch of salt, but they look pretty full. They look pretty full. Now, the game you were saying you were at wasn't entirely full to that same degree. That obviously was in Mexico. It's the nature of the countries as well. When we were watching it, we were looking at it going, you know, South Africa, no great shakes. Czechia, we knew were no great shakes, and that has kind of been proven now as well. South Korea look like they have a little bit about them. You obviously being a big Republic of Ireland fan as well. When you're sitting there watching that game, you're obviously enjoying the fact you're at a World Cup. Obviously in the back of your head, you're thinking, right, we should be here. I should be supporting my team. Does it hit you during the game? And in your head you go, oh, this is actually kind of horrible.
Yeah, I did say what could have been. And I'm thinking outside of the stadium, when you go in, there's like, it's nearly like a fan fest. It's like a festival, like a music festival. There's like line dancing.
Mariachi bands.
Yeah, it's, as they say in America, it's like a tailgate. And the Mexicans, like, they pure love the Irish because I think, was it so many years ago, the Irish?
We helped them basically fight against the US. A couple of Irish people decided to swap sides, basically, and it became a very famous story in Mexico. And Mexico City have a GA club called Los San Patricios, and that's what they're named after, those lads that swap sides. So yeah, like, they're very similar to us. And they're very appreciative of that kind of story as well, which is something really not well, I don't think it's that well known in Ireland.
No.
But like you said, like, as you're saying there, like, the atmosphere, the way they are, you know, like, really friendly people and just wanted to have the crack. It is a real shame that we're not there, we're not part of it, especially you see
Scots.
The Scots there, like, you know, like, they're all in Miami today, they're playing Brazil tomorrow.
Let's actually just say that again. The Scots are in Miami and they're playing Brazil tomorrow.
Yeah, with a chance to qualify.
Yeah. We're going to have Paul Lambert on the show tomorrow night, played against Brazil for Scotland in 98.
Yeah.
Talk about some of those memories. Like, I love and I hate the fact that when that group was drawn, like, I was sitting in a pub in London at the time and the English were like waiting to see who they got. And as soon as we got put with Mexico, they were kind of like, oh, yeah, or the winner of our path got put Mexico. They're like, oh, whatever. I was like, oh my God, it's unbelievable. Yeah. This is like the best World Cup we could have ever got.
Yeah.
You're going to Mexico, so much history between two. You have that, like, you know, I know you've been out with Mexican people before. It's just the same. It's the exact same buzz. It's like being on a night out with a bunch of your mates, like, your mates from home. It's, they just love crack, Catholicism,
alcohol.
Love bit of alcohol, good food.
Yeah.
And they're just up for, like, good food. Like, you know, that, like, off the cuff, like, not madness, but like, the English don't have that.
No.
The Scots have a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Like, your Celtic brothers have a bit of it. The Mexicans have that.
Yeah.
And, like, I'd say, I saw a couple of videos of South Koreans kind of having a bit of crack with them in Guadalajara on that day. Like, did you get to witness any of that sort of stuff outside the stadiums?
Yeah, there was, I don't speak Spanish, but a couple of Irish lads were, like, translating for me. They had, like, a song going, Mexicans and the South Koreans, like, brothers and whatever else it was.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Even when I was sitting down in the stadium, I had a Mexican to my left and a South Korean to my right. And it was nearly just, like, Irish, Mexicans and South Koreans against Czechia.
Czechia wouldn't.
Did you go to Prague?
I didn't go to Prague, no.
Okay, and have you gone to any Ireland Aways in the past, or just in Dundalk Aways, or what, in Europe and stuff, or what's your experience been like in football before this?
Yeah, I went to, I think it was Kenny's last international away game, was that in Amsterdam against Holland?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was Johan Cruyff Arena.
Yeah.
So we didn't have anything to play for, it was just...
And what was it like following Ireland abroad then as well? What was that experience like for you?
So that was my first experience, and this isn't how I describe it, but the first Irish person I met in the airport, she said, it's like a stag on steroids.
Yeah. So I would have to agree. I haven't been on any away days. I'm going to expose myself a little bit here, considering I'm on an Irish football podcast, but the only away day I've ever done is, I've done one since, but was Prague.
Yeah.
And I was very conscious of it, and we're not going to go on about Prague here for another 20 minutes, but we probably will end up doing that. Very conscious of the fact that not every way day was going to be like that. But I don't know, the people that you were coming across and the buzz and the kind of, I don't know, was it unique to Prague because of the fact that it was such a heightened experience because of what was on the line, that people were just so like welcoming and happy, and there was no kind of snobbery towards bandwagoning, you know, that sort of way, which I don't know. I always think bandwagon is a funny thing as well when it comes to, like, you know, you talk about it with GAA, like, you're really bandwagoning if you start going and watching your county because you're just supporting them. It's the same thing with your country. You're still just supporting them. I'd be all for bandwagoning, to be honest. But he's on his high horse now over there. The two boys here, brothers in arms. It's just a tree.
Three of us are all in quarterfinals.
Shocking carry on. But then I went over to Mercia then for that random game we played. You were at that as well, actually, yeah.
In a working capacity, yeah. Not so much in getting on the rift capacity.
Paid
for my flight.
what do you think when you've been to a few Ireland aways before, where you went on a Prague trip, like, what's kind of yours and your mate's experience kind of following Ireland abroad, and, you know, that kind of adding into disappointment of not being in Mexico, you know, this last couple of weeks?
It's just like, a stack on steroids is a great way to describe it, because I think it's just, you're away for like 3 days, usually on average, like three in total. You're probably in the city you're in for two nights.
Yeah.
And it's just mayhem, like.
Mm.
Like, it is pure mayhem. It's like a bunch of lads who've never been on a night out before, and like the seven nightclubs in front of them, four bars and a load of kebab shops, and it's like, run loose, let go wherever you want, fire away. And it's a little bit like that. But when you go on those trips, like, it's often just yourselves. The home fans aren't like ingratiated with you when you're going out and going on the rip. So I'm wary, like, we're talking football and like the highlight of the trip is going on the rip. Obviously, like, you're going for support your football team. But it is this kind of couple of days where football allows yourself to express yourself.
It's
if you want to use that word.
It's a vessel for joy.
It is a vessel for joy, and it's a bit of a festival when you're out at it. But like, that's what my initial instincts when we drew Mexico. It was like, this is going to be one of the first times you're going on one of these away days. It's already kind of like that at the World Cup, where there's a community feel to everyone kind of enjoying themselves. But to do it with people who also love to enjoy themselves, love a good night out. The Koreans looked like they did as well. I didn't even know that at all.
Mm.
Like, I think the group would have been, and then South Africa, like, you've so many South Africans living in Ireland now. Like, it just would have been this great kind of cross community thing between all four teams, where everyone has similarities and stuff in common which you don't see in the other groups.
But they're all so different as well.
They're all so different in their own right, but can come together. And there's no hatred. There's no rivalry. Like, it would be, when the game's over, that's the game's over.
Yeah.
And now we'll go on the rip together. Yeah. And we'll enjoy our time here together. And to think that we missed out on that. I know you got some sort of experience of it, but the wider community of Ireland missed out on that. Like, it had a real chance to be a real cultural moment, as well as a great football moment, a real cultural moment for everyone. Like, that kind of, people talk about Italia 90, and it was obviously the novelty of it, and then being in Italy is also a similar thing. I feel like it would have been a similar thing in Mexico.
Yeah.
It would have been a cultural movement, like Mexico 26. You wouldn't have even thought about the States.
No.
It wouldn't even enter your head. I know we would have had a game there, but it wouldn't enter your head once, like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How much did you pay for your ticket of interest?
400 euro.
Yeah.
It is, like, that is mad, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, it is. You're not mad for doing it. You were going to Guadalajara, you had a book. That's A1. Like,
it's once in a lifetime.
Yeah, 100%. But the fact that is even, that's
allowed,
what it takes, is wild, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Was there many empty seats at the game?
Around me, there wasn't, but I could see other empty seats. But I know FIFA are saying that, like, there was people at the
concourses and stuff.
Because you could buy your drink up till the 75th minute, and you could bring your drink to the seat as well. So maybe that defeats that argument that they were in the concourse.
Why would you stay in the concourse? You can just go watch the game.
I was watching that one on TV, stayed up to watch it, and there was portions of the stadium that looked empty for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, look, you give them the benefit of the doubt. And then they came out the next day and said, oh no, it was sold out, and there was people on the concourse. But then I watched the Mexico South Korea game that was in the same stadium, and it was full, and there was not a seat, like, there was not a person out of a seat for the whole 90 minutes. And that kind of upper tier, that Estadio Akron, is like the corporate premium level, looked pure empty for that game against Czechia, the South Korea game, the whole thing. I was like, I I'd be interested to know what you saw on the ground, because, like, am I correct in saying, like, Guadalajara is one of the poorer cities in Mexico?
Yeah, like, it's... I wouldn't be going there for, like, a holiday destination.
Yeah.
I would spend a fair amount of time in Mexico City. I went to Guadalajara for maybe 4 or 5 days, but you go to Guadalajara and the next thing you do is you go to a place called Tequila. Now, I don't know if you made it to Tequila. But,
he couldn't probably, see tequila.
You probably ingested a fair amount of tequila. Yeah. It's not like, we think of Guadalajara, we think of like games in the 1970 World Cup and the 1986 World Cup. It's not a place that you'd really kind of be going out of your way to go to. I know you went and spent time in other parts of Mexico.
Yeah.
Was it the same kind of buzz in the other parts of Mexico as well? Or
So I went to Oaxaca and then played El Carmen. So the nice thing about being over there for the World Cup is that you're getting up and the first game's at 11 o'clock and the last game's at 10 o'clock. So you're going to see the game straight today. Whereas you're coming here, like, was it France last night and the game was delayed and I was like, I'm just going to go to bed. Like, I'm not even sure when this game's going to recommence.
So it's a similar sort of setup to what we would have had here for the Qatar World Cup, I suppose, as far as the timings go.
Yeah.
Remember they were like 10 a.m., 1 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., whatever.
Yeah, 8 and 8.
8, yeah. So it's like that on the ground over there.
Yeah. So then like in Oaxaca, I just stepped in, I forgot what South American team it was, but a lot of the South American countries like nearly cheer each other on.
Okay.
Which we don't really be cheering other teams on.
No, we don't
here.
Be cheering the European sides on. No, there's no. But I suppose maybe it's a bit of a... Yeah. Against the world type thing. Yeah,
yeah, I think it's also there's a bit of a maybe rivalry now between South American teams and European teams, and in a World Cup context, like Tim Vickery's on the show last night, and he mentioned that quite a lot. Like any team that's put Brazil out of the World Cup since 2002 has been a European team.
Yeah,
there is a bit of that kind of Latin brotherhood as well about those couple of teams as well. And for example, like you're in Mexico. I know there's a lot of Colombians in Mexico that have gone for the tournament, and I think there's definitely a shared brotherhood between Colombia and Mexico as well. And like a lot of people kind of move between the two countries as well, and they went and they sold out the Azteca last week as well and just covered it in yellow. I think Mexicans are really appreciative of Colombians coming over and having that experience in their country for the World Cup.
So Shakira was there for the opening ceremony as well. I don't know if she had the other ones.
No, she wasn't.
She's just the Mexican one. Yeah.
Did you see many Colombians when you were there? Because I stayed up to watch that Uzbekistan game. And it was mental. Like the whole place was. I knew it would be. I remember the Copa America from a couple of years ago when they did the same, and it was North America. Yeah. But did you actually see many on the ground outside stadiums? And I suppose they were playing in Mexico City, so you were in Guadalajara and Oaxaca.
Actually, in Oaxaca, I was in watching, was it Uruguay, was one of the South American teams, and there was a Colombian lad, and he actually came over to me. And he was like, oh, are you over here on holiday? And then I had to give the explanation, yeah, I'm here to watch Ireland. Well, I was supposed to hear to watch Ireland, but check you instead. And he was actually going to the Uzbekistan game.
Oh, they were playing close. Yeah. Actually, look, that was another one that was on at like 3 in the morning or something.
It was 3, yeah.
I watched the highlights back. That was actually looking pretty. They were dogging into each other.
Yeah.
They were giving it loads, which is kind of to be expected. The Colombians love a bit of that, but
yeah.
They might have a bit of a run.
How did you feel safety-wise and like organisational-wise when you're in Mexico? Because obviously in the early part of the year, we had the killing of El Mencho, who's a cartel gang leader in Mexico. And there's also these concerns about Mexican cartel violence in Mexico. How did you feel when you're walking in the streets, when you're getting the bus out to the stadium, when you're... How was that for you?
I felt okay, to be honest. Now, having said that, maybe you had a clean up before the World Cup.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe did that, but I felt comfortable. People were friendly, even people can sort of get... Like, I went solo travelling, so people come over to you. Senior, you're all right. The other Irish people I met, and even I met a few New Zealand boys, like they text you at the end of the night saying, oh, did you get home all right?
Yeah.
So I find it okay.
Yeah.
That is the thing, though, as well. There's a lot, it's not to say that there isn't bad things going on, of course there is, but you can definitely get a different feel for stuff when you're actually on the ground. It's not always, not every single part of a place is going to be the same as, you know, two streets up, do you know, that sort of thing, too. Like, so I can definitely imagine that the experience you had is something a lot of people would have had too.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, there was for the opening game, there was like a march and protest for people who would have died
and disappeared.
Yeah. So you were sort of, that was sort of in the back of your mind, but in the moment when I was there, I didn't feel.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you're getting fleeced by, like, that's what seems to be what's happening in the US, is that people are going and they're spending crazy amounts in tickets or crazy amounts in transport or hotels, but in Mexico, you can do a lot of, like, you can do a lot of eating and drinking for really cheap in Mexico. Did you feel like you were getting fleeced or kind of taken advantage out of when you were there? Like, or was it like, oh no, everything's pretty okay. Okay, you have to pay a lot for the ticket. That's what it is for the World Cup. What was your kind of experience of that?
Yeah, maybe the ticket, like, I wasn't going to buy any more FIFA merchandise. I was like, they have enough of my money at this stage.
Yeah.
But in terms of, in Mexico, no, not really. Maybe once I was buying the tacos, but I didn't have any Spanish to communicate.
It's interesting. Is there any reason other than the fact that it was just be very expensive that you didn't decide to go to another game? Or was it hard to get a ticket?
Probably expensive for a ticket.
Yeah. I think it is putting a lot of people off. Yeah. I see even people from countries who are there, especially having to travel over the European side of things as well. Like, it just doesn't seem right, does it, that like a World Cup can be so, and it's never going to be totally accessible, because it is, again, you do have to understand, it's the pinnacle of a sport as well. Like, it's elite. It's not supposed to be easy, but it is for everyone. It's the World Cup, that's the point. And I'm surprised to see so much representation from certain nations there that you would imagine are, it would feel the brunt of a price like that more so than maybe others. Like, you know, like, we're as expensive as things are here, we're lucky enough to be from a country where we can work up enough of a wage to be able to go and do that, you know, to a degree as well.
Like, from reading a lot around especially the opening game, the Mexico game against South Africa, like, it seemed the minimum price that people pay for tickets for that game was about $1,000. And it seemed that quite a lot of the people, especially the Mexican fans in the stadium, were what are known as Whitexicans, or they're the descendants of Mexican people who've previously moved to the US. So they maybe grew up in the States. Okay, they're Mexican-American. They have maybe they earn dollars, which goes further than the Mexican peso, or they earn euros, whatever it is, and then they can go back to Mexico and they can kind of afford more things just naturally being grown up in the US, and then going back and kind of taking advantage out of that. So that's one of the real kind of shit things about this World Cup, is that, you know, there's people from...
It's full of güeros.
Yeah, they're like kind of
white, they call them, like, güeros are like white good guys, but like they're a bit of money.
It's not their fault. That's just you know, the product of where they grow up, or the product of what's happened in their lives or previous generations as well. It's a really bad thing for FIFA, and it's a bad thing for fans. FIFA don't care, and something that I suppose what we have to do in the media, or people have to do, fans have to do, is constantly talk about these things, because this is not right. The next World Cup is going to be in Spain, Portugal, Morocco. There's going to be a couple of games in Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay.
Yeah.
But like, how this dynamic pricing ticketing thing works remains to be seen. Spain have a particularly left-leaning government. Let's see if they try and make more things affordable. Zoran Mamdani has been in New York, kind of famously, you know, trying to sell tickets for, what was it, like $50 and get people to games. You know, that's objectively a really good thing. But people paying $1,000 to attend the opening World Cup game in Mexico City, where a lot of the population, like the teachers, were striking before the Mexico game, to open the World Cup. You know, the teacher average wage is about 300 to 500 euro a month. So if you're paying double that on a ticket for one World Cup game, it's disgusting, really. It's a disgrace. And it's kind of, you know, this super capitalism that Gianni Infantino has kind of developed within FIFA, you know, famously a non-for-profit organisation. It's a real shame, and it's a stain on this tournament in particular. Less so in Mexico, more so probably in the US.
Well, why aren't you giving Gianni his credit? You said that people... Or presents are Mamdani for $50 tickets. He made $60 tickets and no one gave him any sort of praise.
Yeah.
Where's your prize for Gianni?
He's also organising a fixture between Israel and Palestine, so more power
to him.
To him. I will say, all that being said though, I get the impression you had a good time in Mexico. You enjoyed the match. Like, I know this is all quite negative chat, and it's right. Like, we do need to talk about what's actually going on. But what is also actually going on is people are going over and they're having a good time. Like, I take it you did enjoy it.
Yeah, I had a good time. Like, I know we're talking about ticket pricing. Like, there was other Irish there who didn't pay for a ticket because of the price of it.
They just took the trip, like,
It is a workman's class game, but you could sort of, without going to the game, you could sort of experience the way the game should be. Just people having a good time.
I suppose, I imagine you've watched a good few games as well since then, since you've been back, or while you were over there too. It does seem like the football is a lot more enjoyable maybe than what we've been watching in the Premier League or whatever over the course of last year. International football is a bit looser, and it seems like that's translating into this tournament.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It just seems to be a wee bit more fast-paced. Talking earlier of like what could have been, I'm not too sure if we would have had it that easy against Mexico and South Korea either. Like, even watching Mexico and South Korea, like, it was a fairly fast-paced game, I thought myself. There's been some cracking goals as well.
There has, on that topic of the fast pace and the heat and how we might not be able to have dealt with, a big talking point has been these hydration breaks that maybe aren't even for the purpose of hydration and are more for the purpose of fleecing a few more quid out of whoever you want to fleece a few more quid out of. And as a match day experience, obviously, when we're watching it on the television, it's either filled with some filler commentary or an ad break. So there's something there going on. What's going on in the stadium when...
There's music being played.
Okay. Yeah, so. Is that good? Is that enjoyable?
It's a bit of crack. Like, I find it enjoyable.
I'd say it probably is something that is more intriguing, I suppose, when you're there. Or, you know, because when you're at home, it's like, oh, stopping the play or stopping the play. But I suppose when you're in the stadium, you're in the stadium. You're there for the night, like.
It's one of those things. It's like, you know, it's like watching an NFL game. It's, you get someone in the, they get someone in the crowd, and, you know, they try and put on some famous faces. You know, that's been a massive part of this tournament, is like what NBA or NFL celebrity, or I know Shakira was at the Argentina game. Yes, this, that kind of thing. Oh, you know, we've all these massive stars going to these games. You know, this is the World Cup of stars. And that's just not us on the pitch and off the pitch with like Messi, Mbappe, Haaland. Yeah, I think it's, yeah. And it's quite noticeable as well when you're watching, especially here on TV, they're constantly flicking to really happy fans in the crowd. Like, it's always, all these kind of, and it's given this image of like, oh, everyone's fine, everyone's great. You know, these people are enjoying the tournament. Of course they are.
To be fair,
but it's a bit false though.
It is a bit false, right? But to play devil's advocate, why in the name of God would they put the camera to someone who's looking miserable? Why would they do that? Like,
but no, it never goes to someone in the crowd where they're nervous sort of thing. It's always just
There's definitely, like, you know, producers there going, oh yeah, the camera's coming to you in 2-3 seconds. You go, hey. It happens at the darts.
Yeah, it does happen at the darts, yeah. So, but no one's complaining when it's at the darts.
Yeah, because everyone's had about 10 pints.
Well, no one was showing me anyway.
Should have the big Ireland flag out.
I got my Ireland flag taken off me at the darts, actually.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, you're not allowed flags. And I knew that. Just broad, anyway. Yeah. Willie O'Connor was playing, so I had to...
Oh, fair. You
know, can I ask one more negative question? I know we moved on to positive stuff, but you were talking about Guadalajara, and I was doing some research for the show a couple of weeks ago on this, and I just pulled up the figures again. The amount of clandestine graves dug up by the Jalisco New Generation Cartel on the way to the stadium between 2018 and this year, 1,907 bodies found in Guadalajara, 16,000 then missing in the state of Jalisco as well.
Yeah.
Like, I know they gave a big facelift to the city as well. Like, I think they put a couple of billion into the facelift for the city before this. But, like, did it feel... I know you said there was protests. Did you feel like you were in the presence of that sort of thing? Like, did you feel safe? Did you feel like there was kind of extra eyes on that sort of thing?
It was in the back of my mind that there were people who went missing. And also, someone at the stadium in Mexican was telling me about the bodies around the stadium, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But the way I put it is, like, someone was asking me, would you go back to Guadalajara? And I have to say, the people were lovely there. No offence to the people from Guadalajara, but I was there for the football, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I'd have any other reason to go.
Yeah, so you wouldn't be, as you, as soon as what you were saying there, it's not like a holiday destination. There's not much to see. Like,
No. You need to go maybe an hour or two outside, and there's some really nice places. Oaxaca is unbelievable. Oaxaca is one of the food capitals of the world. Did you have little crickets, the Chapulinas?
No, I asked at the stall I went to, but said no. So that was enough for me. It's like, right, I asked.
I've done my part, yeah.
Yeah. It's really nice, actually. Full of protein, quite healthy for you as well. Nice with, like, really good chili sauce, you know, like, or a good kind of spicy kind of sauce, yeah.
Did you get them back through security?
You probably, there's probably some sort of... Yeah. There'd probably an issue there, I'd say.
Nothing to declare.
Yeah, nothing to declare. Good show, though. But Oaxaca is good. Playa del Carmen. Didn't love Playa del Carmen, to be honest. So did you have a good experience there, or just go on the beach?
I actually couldn't go on the beach because there was, they call it seagrass, so you couldn't go on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
What's that mean?
It's just a lot of seaweed, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So right, that's, you can see them, like, digging it up, but it's like a needle in a haystack, really. It's like...
Yeah,
the ocean's got tiny seaweed. But I was there for Mexico and the South Korea game, so that's when Mexico really qualified for the next round.
Yeah,
so that was good crack. The bars and the streets were pretty good for that.
Did you? So, what's the plan for the future now? You're going to go some Ireland aways. Obviously, you've got Kosovo is one I've been chatting to at the weekend. A couple of people about, like, they want to go to Kosovo and experience that. Is that something that's on your mind now for the next few months? Or
I was chatting to Dad, so Dad and I, we might go to Austria.
Yeah, Austria is the one. Actually, I was thinking, I was chatting to you about that. I might have been chatting to you. I was chatting to you, I think, about that. Yeah, that they changed. That was, it was around the time they changed the, it was not going to be in Vienna, it's going to be in Linz. Yeah, so might be a little bit more difficult to get the tickets for it. But regardless,
we'll get there.
It'll be. It'd be a good way. Austria would be a nice trip, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to Vienna in the winter, can't I?
Yeah.
I was looking forward to that. Like, that's probably the time of year you'd pick to go to Vienna.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
The vibes around the place, like, would have been good. But look, you get to go to Linz. It's a nice new stadium. It's LASK, the club.
Yeah.
LASK Linz. It's a new enough stadium. It looks fairly decent, like.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, like, who are going as fans, and they're staying in Vienna or Salzburg, and they're just getting the train.
Vienna's only across. An hour. It's only an hour.
Yeah,
train. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
An
so
hour, an hour and 8 minutes. Like, that's grand.
Yeah, that'll be good crack. Pristina as well. It'd be good crack if people going. The other one, less said the better.
Do you reckon we're going to get to the Euros in 2028?
I think we will.
We are ready then, aren't we?
We have to get there first.
What about the World Cup in 2030?
Yeah, 2030 is actually the next World Cup. After your experience with this World Cup, and Ireland obviously do get there in 4 years' time, would you be thinking, I definitely want to go?
Yeah, I definitely will be. But I had a conversation with an English Irishman. He was wearing a Bose jersey in Guadalajara, but he's from England. And we had a conversation that because of the price of ticketing and the fact that football is a working man's game, can the Euros now be on par with the World Cup? Like,
as in, like, ticket prices, or as in just
attraction?
Yeah.
I think it might be.
That's a very good point. So the Euros would actually be a more attractive, or an equally as attractive thing for people to go and see, because of the fact that it's much more accessible.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Like,
it's a very good point. I think we're probably not far away from that argument.
Yeah.
And you factor in other things like hydration breaks, and UEFA came out yesterday and said, no, we're not bringing them in unless it's like the game exceeds a certain temperature and you are taking it for hydration. We're not bringing in, you know, mandatory hydration breaks that are 3 minutes long every half. That's actually a very good point. I'd be interested to see how that pans out. Like, I think a lot of stuff will depend on what we take away from this tournament. Like, a lot of people spoke on the Eve tournament about football taking over, and I think it has mostly taken over.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about stuff going on outside the stadiums, and I don't think we will, unless there's something major happens where a team is refused into somewhere, or another player is refused into going somewhere, and a player misses a big game because of it. I don't think we're going to talk about it again. Yeah. But it'd be interesting to see, because we're next up after this. We're the next, you know, well, that we're interested in. Obviously, there's other tournaments at other nations in the meantime, but like, between European Championships and the World Cup, we're next up, and we're the host.
Mm.
So that is going to fall on us to I suppose, big up and make that a more attractive process, or at least towards a similar level. as World Cup.
Yeah, and I think the quality of football as well is another thing that I think even before any of the outside stuff you bring into it, the like maybe this will be proven wrong, obviously, with a 48 team World Cup and the likes of Cape Verde actually being somewhat competitive. Well, fairly competitive, to be fair to them. Drawing with Spain, Uruguay is no mean feat. But people would have said that the floor of the European Championships would be higher than the floor of the World Cup, and that the 32nd best team in Europe would be better than the 48th best team from whatever qualification way you want to put it. So that side of it is already a similar enough attraction. It's just, I suppose, the colour of the globe being involved in it. But if people do get priced out of it, then that's a great point. I hadn't even thought of that. That's a good suggestion. We should dig into that. But
Dublin's well able to price gauge as well. So
already is. Doesn't need an international tournament.
I was saying, I was away last week. I was in Croatia last week, and it was very expensive.
Hrvatska.
Yeah, it was very, very expensive. But anyone I spoke to that talked about how expensive it was, I told them, well, look, listen, the one positive about living in Dublin and it being so expensive is that when you go anywhere else, you're never really that shocked.
No.
You're never going to be put out. You go to Monaco, spend a week in Monaco, you'd probably still be as much out of pocket as a hotel in Dublin. But that's pretty much all we have time for. Is there anything on the Irish football front you want to touch on before we wrap up? And come to your head, I know I've thrown you on the spot here, but
Aaron and John Maloney got promoted to La Liga, got sent off controversially in the last couple of minutes of the final. But it's Malaga, if you have time to look it up, it's just an amazing story. They've been in administration for the guts of 7 years now. FSG, who owned Liverpool, tried to buy them last year, and so did the Qatar group that owned Paris Saint-Germain, and they walked away just because it's such a legal mess. Mm-hmm. They've spent 450,000 in the last 7 years on players. They come against Almeria, who have spent 20 million in the last year on players. They beat them back-to-back promotions back up to La Liga, and Aaron Sean Maloney, who I think is Ruth Tef in Galway, and then West Cork, I think, on his mother's side. He's going to be playing in La Liga next season, so that's he's a new contract as well for the next couple of years at Malaga, so that's definitely
first Irish
around.
Player since
Aldo,
Kevin Moran or John Aldridge, maybe. Yeah, it must be John Aldridge.
Obviously
Matt Doherty actually didn't play. Did he play a league game?
Yeah, I think he did.
I thought he was cup, but
maybe
maybe he didn't. Maybe.
Could be.
Let us know in the comments. Did Matt Doherty make?
He got 10 minutes, I think,
for,
but I can't remember if it was cup or league.
Yeah.
I
should also mention, I don't know if you've asked David, but we should mention the retirement of Derek Williams. Couple of caps for the Republic of Ireland. We'll try to get him on, get a bit of a retirement interview. Interesting story. German links, American links.
The Freiburg Galaxy.
He's not that old. No. In his early to mid 30s, I think. Was that 33? Dara tells me. Was at Reading last year, actually. Had a nice little partnership with Paddy O'Connor. Noel Hunt was there.
Yeah.
So, you have nothing else?
Do you want the last Irish one to play in La Liga?
It is Matt Doherty, huh?
16 minutes, Matt Doherty.
There you go.
Well, last man to start a game is probably John Aldridge.
Thanks for ruining the only comment we were going to get, Ben. Taking it out now. Niall, thanks a million for coming in.
Appreciate that,
and I'm glad you had a safe and enjoyable time over at the World Cup, and who knows, you might end up back over there before it's over. We'll see. So as always, the Green Scene on Off the Ball is with Cadbury, proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland national teams. We'll chat to you again soon.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.